This verse, the theme of this verse is spiritual austerity. Tapas tvam tapat etena tapasiddhir bhavishyati. Translation: O Brahma, do thou practice spiritual association by means of this mantra, then all your desires will be fulfilled. Another translation: O Brahma, execute austerities and penances while meditating upon this mantra, and you will attain to all perfection. So this verse poses kind of a quandary, because we have in the Sanskrit, it says tapa and tapa, and tapa means, of course, austerity. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when he's writing the purport, Jiva Goswami, the purport is clear, it says. So, but actually the question was raised, how do you get from the word tapa, which means penance, austerity, right, fasting, all these things, to the translation in English, spiritual association, which generally in Sanskrit is sadhu sangha, right? Everyone, I think, knows that. So how does tapa become sadhu sangha? So Jiva says that the word tapa also means the remembrance of the mantra, like Dhruva did tapasya. So in other words, linking these two verses together, Saraswati gives the mantra and she gives the sadhana. She says, Brahma, this is the mantra. And she says, now do austerity. Chant the mantra and be austere. It's like Guru does the same thing. You promise to avoid these four sinful activities? Yes. Okay, you promise to chant the mantra? Yes. So we're doing the same thing. We're performing austerities. And this, because in Kali Yuga, it's considered a great austerity. 100 years ago, practically every human being in India followed the four regular principles. Every human being. I'm not talking about Dharma Dvajis, or just human beings followed the four principles. Or let's say they avoided the four sins. And like in the West, we know the classic story when one English lord, Zetlin, he asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said, can you give me Brahmin initiation? Because he was a lord. He was a property holder. He was highly educated and recognized for his political abilities or whatever. He was a lord, Zetlin of England. And then he became interested in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and he inquired. He said, can you make me a Brahmin? He said, yes, no problem. He said, you simply have to follow these four, you have to give up these four sinful activities. What are they? And then he recited them. And then when Lord Zetlin heard this famous, statement, he said, impossible, impossible, impossible. I can't avoid these four sins. That's the very, my heart beats with these things. My heart beats on these things. So you can understand, this was in the 30s. This was 1925. This is 75 years ago. The Lord of England. And he thought it was impossible. What to speak of some, swinging, teenager from London right now. 100 times impossible. This is 1925. When people were supposedly pretty, Victorian or whatever you call it. So at any rate, this is considered big austerity. So we practice austerity and we chant the mantra. So Saraswati said the same thing. She said, hey, look, Brahma, you have to follow the four principles and chant the 16 rounds. So he said, all right. So he chanted a little more than 16 rounds. He chanted for 1,000 celestial years. And he obviously, he avoided all the four sins. So that's what it means, tapa. So that's why Jiva Goswami says, sometimes the word tapa not only means a penance, self-control, self-denial, restriction, or austerity, but it also means the chanting of a mantra. So she's saying, do tapa, which means chant your mantra. Just like Dhruva Maharaj did tapasya, but here, the difference in his tapa means that Dhruva, he performed difficult physical austerities along with chanting a mantra. So for Dhruva, the word tapa, or his tapa, included two things. The physical and the mental included physical austerities of 6 months, leading you know, fruits for, I don't know, whatever it was, 1 month, and leaves for 1 month, and finally air, like that. But the whole time he was chanting a mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So that was another point. So that is tapasya. Tapasya means one should tolerate all dualities of material nature and all difficulties and inconveniences, and without fail, peacefully chant the Gayatri Mantra. Just like Nirjal Ekadasi. So on that Nirjal, if you do Nirjal, the tapasya means that you fast all day, stay up all night, chant Hare Krishna. One purport, Prabhupada said, I like this definition, it always stuck in my mind. Prabhupada said, what is the meaning of tapasya? Tapasya means the difficulty or the trouble that a disciple undergoes to carry out the order of his spiritual master. Very beautiful definition, which includes this definition of chanting the mantra and includes the definition of performing physical austerities and undergoing difficulties and tolerating inconveniences. So the trouble and the difficulties that a disciple undergoes to fulfill the order of the guru. So one of the orders of the guru is to chant the Gayatri Mantra 3 times a day, 6, 12, and 6, or the three sandhyam. So then we say, oh, I'm tired, oh, I'm sick, this, that, and we don't do it. We don't take the trouble. So that means we don't do tapa. So that means we don't get the benefit. Brahma taught the example. He chanted his mantra and he did tapa. So we have to do tapasya. It's not hard, but we can't even do we're so lazy, we can't even do the easiest type of tapasya. So this is an unfortunate thing in Kali Yuga. The difficulty and trouble that a disciple undertakes to fulfill the order of the spiritual master, which is a little bit different than the definition of tapasya that's given by Dhruva Maharaj in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. Such severe restrictions in eating and sleeping and living conditions, living in the forest all alone. So Prabhupada didn't impose any of those restrictions on us. He told us, come to the forest, but the forest of Vrindavan, and live austerely, but take Krishna prasadam, not leaves and dried leaves of the trees like Dhruva Maharaj. We take Krishna Balaram's mahaprasadam, but the real austerity is to always chant the holy name and remember Krishna's pastimes. And practically speaking, one of the greatest austerities, probably, if Prabhupada suggested, was the austerity of cooperation. that he defined love in terms of cooperation. And of course, it's actually probably in Kali Yuga the greatest austerity is to show love, because it's an age of selfishness. So Prabhupada said that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate together. So that would probably be our greatest show of austerity, by showing how much we can cooperate, brother and sister and cousins and nephews and nieces and all the different kind of spiritual family relationships that exist in the family of ISKCON after Prabhupada's disappearance. So one might redefine tapasya, meaning the difficulty and trouble one takes to cooperate with his God brothers and God sisters to carry out the order of the carry out the order of spiritual master. At any rate, that was a review. And then the verse talks about Siddhi, and that Saraswati blessed him and said, if you do this austerity, you do these two things, you chant a mantra and do austerity, then you'll get Siddhi. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna's Kairaj, he explains that there's only one kind of perfection that will make the heart peaceful. And any other kind of aspiration for perfection will not result in the peacefulness of the heart. So that verse is there, the famous verse, and Prabhupada often quotes, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kame Sakale Ashanta. So if we have a desire for any of these type of perfections or siddhis, bhukti, sense gratification, elevation to higher planets or improved position, or mukti, go to Salokya, same planet as Vishnu, same opulences, etc. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami, or the yogis say, if we have any desire for mystic perfections, Anima Siddhi, Lagima Siddhi, Prapti Siddhi, Kamavasata Siddhi, then no peace. But there's one person, then there's one perfection which will give real peace of mind and peace of heart, and that's Prem Siddhi. And Prem City is what is the ultimate perfection, of course, which Brahma ended up with by his austerity and by his chanting of mantra. But in the interim, before he reached that final conclusion of Prem City, he settled for some other perfections, namely the fulfilling of his desire, material desire to create. So then the rest of that verse is Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kame Sakaleya Shanta Krishna Bhakta Naishkam Ateva Shanta. That the devotee, the Krishna Bhakta, he's really peaceful because he has nishkam. Instead of having selfish desires, he has no selfish desires. He simply wants to love Krishna and serve Krishna. And love means ultimately pleasing Krishna, making him happy. So he can actually have a peaceful heart. And this is the only siddhi or the only perfection that if one attains this, he'll actually be peaceful. And that's what Kaviraj Goswami is trying to mention. That aspiring for any other perfection in this world won't give peace. But except when you love Krishna, then that's because that's ultimately the destiny of every Atma. Every Atma is meant to come to that ultimate perfection, which is the peaceful, eternal, natural position of the soul, which is the original position of the soul, is to be in a harmonious, balanced relationship of love with the Absolute, Godhead, Krishna. So that's prema. And that, of course, in a relationship with the Tathasta Jiva, with Vishnu, it is a type of prema, it is a type of rasa, but it's a perverted reflection of Shantaras. And so Shantaras is practically no ras. So that's why Vishnu, desiring that the living entities within him could actually experience the higher rasas of Vaikuntha and Vrindavan, he released them into this world. And that we heard earlier, the actual Icha Shakti, or the desire of the Lord for why he created. We discussed that before. So this is just one point about perfection that we just wanted to bring out. This principle of siddhi, there's some discussion. It's actually the actual siddhi that he attained is, we'll find out in verse 28, that this is the perfection that he attained in the purport of 28. This is after, by doing chanting of Gopal mantra and performing austerity, then he got perfection. He got empowered to create, and then he heard the Gayatri Mantra and got full knowledge and illumination, which removed all of his ignorance and removed his desires for materiality. And then he actually got the perfection, which is alluded to in the purport of 28. Brahma thought thus, at this point, after chanting Kam Gayatri, Brahma thought thus within himself, this is page 47, by recollection of the Kam Gayatri, which is another mantra, it seems to me that I am the eternal maidservant of Krishna. So, and that, in that regard, he had realized a much higher perfection of filled with ras, Madhurya ras, in the mood of a maidservant. So, I want to read here a little bit about perfections. And this verse talks about mantra siddhi. So this will bring out some interesting point about Gopal Mantra also. This is Mantra Siddhi. There is no restriction regarding the number of times one can chant Gayatri or the Gopal Mantra. Vedic scriptures suggest chanting the Gayatri Mantra 108 times at a sitting, 32, 28, and some gurus prescribe 10 times, others 12, and some Gaudiya Acharyas request their disciples to chant one round of the Gopal Mantra at each sandhya. 108. The main point is to chant the number of times requested by the spiritual master, and to chant more if time permits. That brings us up to the point we discussed earlier about going to war over details instead of making peace over principles. Make peace with the principles of yourself and others and not go to war over details. For example, you're an ISKCON and your Guru Maharaj tells you to chant Gayatri 10 times. Then you meet someone from another spiritual institution and they say, how many times you chant your Gayatri mantras? Oh, 10 times. Oh, only 10? Oh, you're bogus. Our Guru Maharaj says 12 times. And then you say, oh, And then you and then you go away. Oh, gee, I'm bogus, you know. I only chant 10 times. And that institution, they chant 12. Well, if that person in that institution chants 12, if he goes to another institution and they ask him, how many times do you chant Gopal Mantra? And he says, 12 times. And they say, huh? Really? You don't chant 108? No. Oh, my guru, you're bogus. My guru said you have to chant 108 times. So this is called detail. The principle is to chant the Gopal Mantra. Thank you. Principle is to chant the Gopal Mantra at the Sandhya, at least 3 times a day. And of course, even then, the principle is also sometimes reduced to being morning and evening. And Prabhupada was a little lax also in regards to the noon chanting. But in the morning, usually we're in a situation where we can chant in the evening time. But in the middle of the day, even in ISKCON, we find ourselves embroiled in preaching or in sankirtan. And Jiva Goswami also cited different verses about, that's discussed in here also, that you can miss a Gayatri if you're actually engaged in the principal activity of Dharma, which is Nam Sankirtan. And there's no offense. In other words, if you're in the temple chanting in the Kandakirtan party from 9 o'clock in the morning till 2 or something, and you don't have time to chant your Ainik, your noon Gayatri, there's no offense. But if you're not engaged in preaching or in Nam Sankirtan, if you're just home relaxing or in your ashram relaxing, whatever, and you have time, then if you don't chant your mantra at the Sanya, it's considered an offense. It's called Seva Parad, and it's not very good for progress in bhakti. Anyway, so this is the idea. You can chant many times. Like when someone gets initiated, they say, oh, we chant 16 rounds and then that's it. We put the beads away. No, that's the minimum. You can chant more. It's the same thing with all these mantras, at least according to the Shastra. Your guru may have a different idea. The Shastra says you can chant Gopal Mantra any number of times. You can chant, some devotees have mala where they only chant Gopal Mantra on that mala at particularly auspicious times for spiritual activities, like Surya Graha or Lunar Graha, when there's eclipse of sun or moon. These are very powerful times. Previously, a few weeks ago, there was an eclipse of the sun. So at these particular, you can say, stellar junctions or stellar phenomenons in the universe, they're very auspicious and powerful times for attaining Mantra Siddhi, which this verse is talking about. According to Mantra Shastra, Mantra Siddhi, perfection in a particular Vedic or Pancharatrika mantra, can be attained by chanting that mantra 1,000 times the number of syllables in the mantra. For example, you can attain perfection in the 18-syllable Gopal Mantra by chanting it 18,000 times, or the 24-syllable Kam Gayatri by chanting 24,000 times, and so on. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, however, is independent of this concept, for even one pure recitation of Hare Krishna can give the highest perfection of pure love of God, Shudanam. I mean, if you chant Shudanam. What does it mean to attain Mantra Siddhi? Because this is all... we're talking about this because verse 25 says, Tapas Twam Tapa Etena Tapas Siddhir Bhavishyati. She's saying, O Brahma, by chanting this mantra, you'll have all your desires fulfilled. In other words, Siddhi Bhavishyati. Bhavishyati means in the future. And we had that Purana called Bhavishya Puran, tells about the future. So, in the future, all your desires will be fulfilled. You'll attain perfection. So, this is what it means. Mantra Siddhi means that one gets perfection, that particular mantra, Mantra Siddhi, and quickly receives benefits or fruits of that mantra. Generally, Siddhi means obtaining whatever the mantra offers. For example, Hanuman Mantra Siddhi gives darshan of Hanuman and benedictions such as strength. The Brahmanda Purana provides another example of Mantra Siddhi. Quote, reciting the Nisringa Kavacha 32,000 times with a purified heart grants the most auspicious of all auspicious things. Material enjoyment and liberation are understood to be already available to such a person. Lord Brahma himself achieved Mantra Siddhi after chanting the Gopal Mantra thousands of times. He attained the perfection of hearing Krishna's transcendental flute. Because the mantra he chanted was Krishnaya, Govindaya, Gopijana. So in all these three forms of Krishna, Krishna is accompanied by his Vamshi, Venu, and Murali. So Krishna's playing Venu, and Govinda's playing Vamshi, and Gopijana Vallabha's playing Murali, and interchangeable also. But nevertheless, Krishna's always playing his flute. And this mantra has Krishna there, and Krishna's guna, and Krishna's rupam, and Krishna's lila. So this is one form of perfection available by chanting Gopal mantra, is to see Krishna and to hear his flute. He attained the perfection of hearing Krishna's transcendental flute. Then in his trance of meditation, Brahma saw Lord Govinda and the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. So as we hear that the Lord, the quality of Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, is described in the same book we're studying, Brahma Samhita, and we meditate on that every morning at the Shringar Arti. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti pasyanti panti kalyanti charam jaganti ananda chinmaya sad ujvala vigrahasya, like that. So it says that one of his angani, his senses are is sakalendriya. All of his sense sakal, all of his senses are interchangeable. So Krishna can see with his ears and hear with his nose and taste with his eyes and all these things. This is the nature of the absolute Satchitananda Vigraha of the Supreme Lord, and also the nature of the Satchitananda Vigraha of the Atma or the Jiva. So the first darshan that Brahma had of Govinda, of Krishna, was through Shabda darshan. He had Shabda darshan. Shabda means sound. So through flute, he saw the Lord. He heard the Lord's flute. And there's nobody else in creation, high or low, who plays such a mellifluous and attractively sweet, melodious flute besides the Supreme Lord. So when you hear that flute, it's unmistakably the sound vibration from Bhagavan's flute, not to be mistaken of anyone else's. So when he heard that flute, and he could understand, and he was seeing within his heart, oh, this is Govinda's flute, this is Krishna's flute, this is Gopijana Vallabha's flute. And then, so he's Shabda Darshan, then there's Saksha Darshan. So his ears are perceiving the Supreme Lord through sound vibration of the transcendental flute. And then his eyes are seeing the beautiful form of Govinda. Right? Alola Chandra Kalasad Banamal Yavam Shivrat Nangadam Pranayakeli Kalavilasham Shamam Tribangalalitam Niyataprakasham Govindamari Purusham Tamaham Bajami. So then he had Sakshat Darshan with his eyes. So that's why it says, first he attained the perfection, the mantra city of hearing Krishna's transcendental flute. And then in his trance of meditation, he saw Govinda and the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. Sounds familiar, right? First we'll chant the Hare Krishna mantra, which is Shabda Brahman, or right, spiritual sound vibration. And in that sound vibration, we'll hear the Lord's flute. And then we will go mad. And then we'll enter a trance of meditation on that flute. And then our heart will see the Lord. And if we open our eyes, we'll have darshan. Just like there was one little boy. He was 5 years old. And he chanted a mantra. And that mantra transported his consciousness to the outer reaches of the world. And entered and his consciousness penetrated into the Vaikuntha region. And once his consciousness had penetrated the Vaikuntha region, then in the recesses of his heart, in the inner core of his heart, he had darshan of Lord Narayan. And he was overwhelmed in an internal rapture of that sweet darshan of Lord Narayan. And then he was relishing that sweet pleasure of seeing the Lord in his heart. And then he couldn't see. The Lord was playing a trick because he left the reaches of the core of his heart and he came out in the world. He came from Vaikuntha, out of his heart, which was now situated in Vaikuntha. He came into this world. And the little boy opened his eyes and said, oh, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he had Sakshat Darshan of Lord Narayan. And of course you know who that little boy is. Right? Dhruva Maharaj. So someday we're chanting Hare Krishna and we may have an experience something like Dhruva Maharaj's, but our Ishta is not Narayan. So our experience will be Gopinath. Govinda Damo Dara Madhaveti. Right? Govinda Damodar Madhav. The initiation rites mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas describe Purushcharya as a method of attaining siddhi by chanting. That's a whole another discussion. The question is, which flute did he hear? That generally, When Krishna is calling the gopis, not all the time, but generally he plays murali. And when we see, we analyze the meditation and the darshan that Brahma has, it's primarily focused on the Govinda, cows and Govinda in the spiritual world. And there's some idea the gopis are there. And of course, he's having some realization about himself as a maidservant. But my general impression of this is that he heard the Vamshi. This is an answer based on Shastra. This is called a philosophical speculation based on Shastra. In other words, you know, his answer is, he gave the answer himself. Venam kvavantam aravinda. So venam, because see, the problem with Sanskrit, sometimes you don't know what the speaker is intending, because they're not as some devotees would like it to be. Sanskrit is not so exact. The Sanskrit might say one thing, and it may be some different meaning. Like it might say Priyavanar, which means the wife of Agni. One devotee had some issue, question about this. Why does the verse say Priyavanir that we discussed, but then the translation is, this is Swaha, because Priyavanir, Vanir means Agni Dev, and Priya means the beloved or the dear one. So the dear one is his wife, and his wife's name is Swaha. So we discussed that. So oftentimes when they're describing Krishna and his flutes, the Sanskrit writers of Rasa Shastra and poetry and whatnot, they may use these words interchangeable. He might be saying, Krishna called the gopis with his Venu. You know, Venu Gopal, or, you know. But generally, the Venu is used with Gopal. In other words, Venu is a very short flute, which is used for calling cows, not for gopis. Because that Venu is only 6 inches long, and has a very high-pitched sound, which is quite suitable for going long, long distances, and for catching the ears of cows and calves and getting their attention and pulling them back to the pastures or out of the deep forest and going back home with Krishna. So the Venu, most often used for cows and coward boys. And the Vamshi is used for cows and coward boys. And the Murali is used for cows and coward boys, but mostly used for gopis. Although Vamshi is also used for gopis in the daytime. So Venu and Vamshi are mentioned in the shlokas in this book. So if we want to answer our question, which flute did he hear? Well, at least we can say that he heard the Venu and the Vamshi. So is Murali there? Is the word Murali there anywhere? My original answer was, I believe it wasn't the Murali. Remember? Because this is for gopis. But listen for yourself. And anyone, the first one comes to know, let us know about it. Or if you're a little shy, then don't tell us and just relish it. You know, enjoy it. You know, maybe you're shy, you don't want to go around and say, well, you know, I heard Krishna's flute, you know. Last night I heard Krishna's flute, and it's definitely not the morally, you know. Obviously, you wouldn't want to advertise. That's not usually the mood of Trinada Pisunice, no. Any other question? So, a little bit more about Gopal Mantra. The benefits of Gopal Mantra. This is some entry from this book also. Of the many Vishnu mantras giving liberation, the Gopal Mantra is the best because it invokes Krishna Prema upon its chanter and reveals Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. By chanting Gopal Mantra, the Mantra Raj, the king of mantras, I mean that's the name of it. Gopal Mantra is called the Mantra Raj, the king of all mantras. One propitiates Radha Govinda in Madhurya Ras. And that verse 25 is quoted. Do execute penance while contemplating upon this mantra and you will attain to all perfection. The Gopal Mantra has the power to gratify any desire the chanter may possess. When Divya Saraswati, this is a review. When Divya Saraswati gave Gopal Mantra to Brahma, she told him it would fulfill all his desires. Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes how the young coward boy Gopakumar satisfied his desires one after another by continually chanting the 10-syllable Gopal Mantra. His chanting a Gopal mantra carried him throughout the universe and placed him in various positions of mastership. Finally, it awarded him the perfection of Krishna's eternal loving embrace, which he sought for so long. Srila Vyasadeva said, this is in Narada Pancharatra, which mentions the mantra we chant. Vyasadeva said, the 10-syllable Gopal mantra is the highest mantra. This mantra stops samsara. The 10 or the 18. Ours is 18. This mantra stops samsara, dispels sins and ignorance, gives victory in battles, fearlessness in forests, and safety in floods. And also Vyasadeva says more, this is called Shrutifal, fruits of hearing, or fruits of chanting this mantra. It gives victory in battles, I said that, and it gives wealth and all types of prosperity to the devotees. It bestows strength and vigor, heroic valor, a beautiful celestial body, and the 8 mystic powers. In other words, it gives you everything, material and spiritual benefits. This mantra increases bhakti to the lotus feet of Krishna. Narada Muni is the rishi of the Gopal mantra, which is chanted in the Virat Chanda. Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, and the benefactor of the whole world, is the mantra devata. Actually, when Guru gives, at least traditionally, in the Guru-Shishya tradition, when the Guru gives initiation to mantra, he will tell 5 things to the disciple. And one of them, the conception to meditate on chanting, and who the Ishtadeva of the mantra is, and who the Rishi of the mantra is, and how the mantra is chanted. Of course, that's what he hears. When he hears that, and usually the other 4 things are told too. And that's considered complete initiation. But it's not always done, but those are the usual details. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu achieved darshan of Krishna through chanting the Gopal mantra. He saw a gorgeous young boy standing in a 3-fold bending form playing on a flute. His hair was crested with a peacock feather, his belly was marked with 3 lines, and his voice was sweet. Overwhelmed in ecstatic love, Mahaprabhu ran after that mischievous boy who disappeared within a forest bower. Collapsing on the ground, Mahaprabhu began rolling about and crying out in intense separation, "Oh Krishna, where are you? Where are you?" In Rag Vartman Chandrika, Vishnu Chakravartipad explains that as an item of bhajan, chanting Gopal mantra is bhava sambandhi, which means related. It has a sambandha, relationship to the desired feeling, and thus it acts as a direct cause for attaining the goal of Krishna prema. A person of disciplined mind who chants the Gopal mantra day and night will definitely see the Lord in his Gopa form. This is from Gotamiya Tantra. Gopa means in his Braj Roop in Vrindavan, not in his some Aishwarya Roop of Vaikuntha or